Well, good afternoon on these crazy days.
Oh, it's crazy, Rob.
It is.
Well, thank you for taking the time to meet with me. I know how busy you are. It seems sometimes we're the epicenter of everything that goes on. But I will tell you, there's people out there that aren't paying any attention to any of this.
Yeah, no, I know. That's always the thought, you know. Sometimes, you know, Tom and I took a walk at lunch, and as we're walking past groups of people on their way out to get lunch, you know, like there's people that definitely didn't seem like they had a care in the world, you know, like they're just sort of cruising down the street like they would any other day.
I know.
You know, we live it, breathe it, see it, react to it, answer for it, hopefully have answers for it, which this one's one that is definitely, you know, a disaster, you know, national, global, you know, natural disaster. You know, it's we go through these things, we have them happen. You can't predict them. You know, there's not an allocation for coronavirus in our playbook, you know.
Right.
So, you just do your best to, you know, keep people from doing something foolish. It's the, you know, this is why people need us. Things like this, times like this, you know, I'm sure there's people with accounts at Amazon or at Vanguard that, you know, aren't feeling as comfortable because the decision's kind of their own, you know, and so we'll see. I don't know where the floor is. I don't know what the answers are. We might be working from home at some point in time. I mean, I think from a practice management standpoint, our team, our group, we're all, you know, just trying to make sure we all understand that if we got told we weren't supposed to come to the office for a couple weeks, that we're prepared to do that. They are getting, you know, like Wendy will have, we'll be set up for to be able to work from home here in the next week or so, from what I understand. Who knows how all that's going to work, though. I don't know how they expect, you know, all the assistants to have computers and things, but we shall see. You just got to adapt, man. You know, it's not a, you can't, you know, you got to deal. We got to deal. We got to persevere. We got to keep moving.
Right. No, it's, you know, in the fog of war, all great plans go to hell, right? But,
yeah, it's the Mike Tyson quote, right? Everybody's got a plan to beat me until I punch them in the face. And,
right.
You know, that's it. That's where we're at. You know, you just hate seeing the valuations go down like they have as quickly as they have. People got a taste of it with their February statement, but obviously this is a different, we've moved past that. We're into bear market now. I mean, I think if we're not today, we're darn close. So, you know, but it's one of those things with it, as fast as it comes down, if we got some positive news or we move through it, I mean, we're selling off on the idea of what we think, how we think it's going to affect the economy versus what it may do. And it could be worse than we were seeing, you know, I don't know. But we're selling off pretty quick. So you got to be hopeful that maybe we've moved the yield, you know, the graded curve of stock prices a little too far. But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, the advantage I have if I've been through these, it doesn't make any of them any better or feel any better or seem as though I've been through them. Everyone is like brand new, and each one is as painful as the one before. You never get used to them. There is an advantage to having fewer clients and having a practice that's organized,
right,
where you've been talking to your clients all along and they haven't been off. But this takes an extra phone call, as you well know. You can't just do the monthly calls. You got to do other, you know, which I'm sure you guys have been doing. And just, you know, because people, you know, so what are the things you can do in a bear market to make people feel as though they're doing something so they don't just feel like, oh, my God, what should I do? And then you're telling them nothing. What are some of the actions they can take that would make them feel better as though they're doing something but wouldn't disturb the proper allocation they have.
It depends on where they're at in life, right? So
right.
Increase in 401k contributions, looking to refinance their mortgages, you know, taking value of what our current allocation is, where their risk tolerances are set, you know, how this has been already factored into our financial plan. You know, part of the financial planning is stress testing, you know.
Yeah. Taxes are around the corner. It's a great time to start talking about tax loss harvesting. There's plenty of losses to harvest.
Yeah. So have you, other than those that we just kind of rattled through, what are your thoughts on that in that respect?
Yeah, that's it. There's only like, you know, a limited number of things that you can do. I think the refi is really different this time. You know, we never had that big a deal in terms of interest rates before.
Right. 30 years at under 3 is crazy.
Right. And that can save them money and keep, you know, remind them that, you know, gas prices are going to be low, which will save them probably $1,500 a year. Not that that's a big deal, but it's something. So tax loss selling, what I find curious is that most people don't really do it and don't look forward to it. You know, it's a wonderful thing where you get to swap to something else that will go back up and you don't pay any taxes and you get a loss. So for the next, you know, 4 years, you can sell anything you want and not have any taxes. So you're realizing your losses and setting yourself up for, it literally took me, I think, 8 years before I paid any taxes on anything I sold because I did so much tax selling when the markets were low. Now, I don't sell many things, you know, but I never had to worry when I had a big, when I wanted to change a position out. So that's a really good thing. We don't really do dividend reinvestment anymore. But, you know, it is something you could do. You know, to calculate their dividends and reinvest it or actually put them on some kind of dividend reinvestment program. The other is just dollar cost averaging. Just take a certain amount of money and do it over a monthly basis for them. Even though it's not going to be a big deal, it would just make them feel better.
Well, that's how we're handling cash, money that we've had, money that came in, you know. You know, I think it is the time, you know, it does give you the opportunity to talk about, you know, from prospecting, new money, money that we've had come due. I mean, bonds are coming due in some cases with clients that are probably too conservative. The interest rate yields are so low that we're having the conversations about slowly just let's take, you know, 10% of this at a time and put it, let's buy some equities, you know.
That's really the other side of it, Rob. We have a lot of folks who are older and saying they're nervous, but then we have to also kind of almost rein in this other side of the book that's saying, when should we go all in? And it's like you just said, with dollar cost averaging and doing the dividend side, it's like, there, you know, we don't have the crystal ball to say go all in, but if you can go in stages, you know, dollar cost average over a period of time, it's much better than just trying to jump all in on one day. But, yeah, we got it on both sides.
Right. It's great. What shall we run through the 5-star model? We talked about doing that.
Yeah, we can. Can we talk, Shauna? We're down Melissa this week. She's on vacation, so we can talk a little bit about the pipeline. She would be the person that handles that.
Yeah.
We can kind of touch on our business plan and kind of bring it together. Maybe not as succinctly as you'd want us to for this first go. You know, obviously, it's been a busy couple weeks here since we last talked to you.
Sure. Yeah.
And we don't have all our players here today, but. In terms of business planning, I guess as it relates back to the week's assignments, we are we have three goals, three main goals of our business plan. Increase revenue by 10%, increase net adjusted, net acquired assets by $10 million, and increase our advisory assets by 10%. This month's kind of screwed us up a little bit in terms of our advisory assets. We're off track, but just slightly. Our net acquired assets were on track by a lot. We're 19% towards goal, where we need to be at 8. Our advisory assets, we need to be at 8% increase, basic, you know, like month over month from last year, and we're at 6. And our revenue increase, we're just slightly, we're at 7.9% of where we need to be at, to be at 8, you know, goal on month.
Yep.
So we're pretty close. You know, obviously, you know, that, you know, when assets go down, it's your advisory, you know, and that
right,
kind of hurts.
Right.
But we're still close. You know, we're not negative, right? So,
yeah.
And the big reasons for that is we're ahead in terms of net acquired assets. I'll kind of jump to Melissa's director of marketing pipeline. We have about $7 million currently in our pipeline between Tom and I. Joel, Missy, no, we don't. That's right. We're closer to $12 million in pipeline because we got a – no, it is in there. It is in there. So I'm actually undershooting. We're closer to $12 million in our pipeline with our goal being 10 for the year. You brought in two. So feel good about that.
What's that two? Where'd you pull that off of?
Where our business plan is right now in terms of net acquired.
So it's funny the way the firm tracks our numbers versus the way I like to look at our numbers, Rob. Because we have a senior partner that's on the tier out, they don't give us credit for a piece of that business. So when we look at our numbers as far as like pre-split, post-split, if we're looking at a post-split number, we're really looking at our share. We have to look at it at pre-split, and then we get like the full look, including the 40-whatever percent that our retired partner gets. And that's on our revenue and our assets. So like Mike's saying we're at like 2-something, but we're closer to 4 when you factor in whatever Rob Anderson's getting. So it depends on which way you look at it.
Okay. So the firm is going to see you guys as bigger than and better than you are, actually.
Nope.
Is that
they see us smaller.
Yeah.
Smaller?
Yeah, they don't give us the love, man. They take all the numbers, but they don't give us the you know, the 60% we're giving to somebody else as they look at Tom and I in terms of like marketing dollars.
When they count our revenue and they count our assets, we have to subtract off the percentage that he's taken in the retirement plan.
Huh.
So that left
a couple of years, right?
We'll continually grow as he tears off. But, you know, they're like, well, you guys were only at X amount of dollars in. And I'm like, well, because they only want us to use the post-split number. It's like, yeah, but if you look at the pre-split number and you count what we brought in that's going to him, we're, you know, because they do that, they rank us every month and say, like, oh, you guys were number 2 and 4 last month in the branch. And it's like, yeah, but you didn't count, you know, 40-some percent of our assets because they went to the other guy.
Yeah, and we'll be at a year – he'll be gone a year at the end of this month. So
okay.
We still got four more years of the wind down.
Four more years. God.
Yeah.
You know, I would – if you're adding assets and they're going to him now and he's not even here, in terms of actual net, I mean gross to the firm, that's – I'd really argue that, guys. I mean
– they're paying him for it, which is fine. You know, I just want to get, you know, it's kind of confusing when we're trying to track what we're bringing in. And, you know,
yeah.
We bring in a $2 million account that's, you know, it's new business is just ours. But if it's
right.
An existing client, we got to split it. So,
yeah.
We bring in two. Mike and I each get the count, like, whatever,
600,000,
not the 2 million.
Yeah.
It's new. It's new. I don't care.
Yeah. But they just. They get, you know, that's the thing. If you had a relationship You know, they look at every social security number that was in the book of business when he retired.
Right.
And if that was, if it was a, it was a $100,000 account, and then they did a, you know, we had one of those.
I'll give you a prime example. We had a 92-year-old who wanted a gift to her son 2 years ago when Rob was still here, and we gave him $100,000. Since Rob is retired, we brought in $2.1 million, but because he already had the 100 grand open, the 2.1 goes into the split with the retired FA.
And we got to pay him on it for 5 years.
Oh, you're kidding. You got to pay him too.
Yeah.
We don't get credit for the assets, and we got to pay him on that.
Yeah. Hey, you know, it's a deal, I guess.
Yep. All right. Well,
it is what it is, man. We can bitch about the rules, but we can't do anything about them, you know.
Right. You just had to go get, you got to go get new Social Security numbers.
That's right.
Right.
That's what we're working with. Walter White, man. We're just trying to figure that out, you know.
Right.
But yeah, no, we're in the midst of it all. We're going to be on track. We're going to be fine. I think having process, having structure, you know, obviously as we get into this kind of mess is good. You know, it's helpful. We still have our account size issue, right? We don't have the place to send our abundance. So I would say, you know, when we've had this flare up, we have had some of the weird stuff that you get when you have, you know, a bunch of randoms out there, you know, have popped in. And I know that has affected, you know, Wendy and operations and that sort of thing in some respect. Tom
right.
had a one though yesterday with a guy just wanted to sell out of his account. We're like, awesome, you know, good. We'll send you the money. So you know, it's just it is what it is. We're just trying to do what we can to stick to the program under the constraints in which we operate.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. How about financial planning?
Well, that's Melissa. We are in a good way with our plan. She's doing 24 a month, right? Which is crazy, right? It's a big number, but that's what her goal is, just to get 24 done a month. She's doing it. We brought in a child of a client the end of last week. They're doing a plan and rolling in outside assets. That particular prospect / new client, you know, we worked with her as her parents became ill and dad had Alzheimer's, and she's worked through all of that, and we've referred attorneys, and you know, it wasn't like we had to sell her. She just came to us with her statements and said, hey, you know, and then we did the whole planning process, how we would onboard a client, so on and so forth. So that's a highlight in the last week. But Melissa's tearing through them. One sort of subset is we're talking to my father-in-law is an older advisor, senior advisor. He's pushing 60 in our Camp Hill branch. We've kicked tires on him joining our team. We had a meeting on that this week. We have another call on that with the teaming people tomorrow. We would expect that to also then open up a whole new, you know, avenue of headaches and opportunities, you know, in terms of clients, identifying segmentation, so on and so forth. But we also see it as a new opportunity. He was not a planner at all.
Right.
So there's definitely opportunity out there in a book like that, you know. So, you know, that's probably the biggest, those are the biggest updates from a financial planning standpoint.
Great. Okay. Implementation, the 24-month calendar, et cetera.
We are working. I mean, now this is sort of like, I guess, where we go with this place. We've been working on plugging our events. We are using our 24-month calendar in terms of activities. Obviously, right now, the conversation is volatility, coronavirus, pandemic, yada, yada. We're scheduling and trying to plan out our events for the year. Obviously, coronavirus could change that, you know, in terms of how you do events and if people are going to go to events, if we should even do
right.
them. So that's kind of made things interesting, I guess. And we're also not going to see our wholesalers for months. They put a ban on wholesalers coming into offices. So it's going to be interesting to see how that kind of shakes out, and where our partner, if our partners will have more budget or less budget, or even be there by the time we get around to things, you know. So that complicates things. And in terms of you know, implementation strategy, investments, you know, how we're doing, you know, it's always refreshing with some of the investment choices we use, the managers and things that we use for downside protection. And it's always refreshing when we get into something like this and they're actually doing it. You know, you plan and hope that they will, but you don't know until you know. So some of our downside protection managers are holding up very well. So that's been, from an implementation investment process standpoint, that's been a big positive this over the last couple of weeks too.
Great. Brand management, the 1242s, etc.
We're doing pretty good with that with our top 200. You know, we still have, again, our issue with having accounts we can't send anywhere.
Right.
But we're in darn good shape with folders, with scheduled meetings, scheduled calls. Feel pretty good about that.
Okay, marketing. In marketing, we covered the pipeline and the amount of money you brought in, et cetera, but I want to talk a little bit about the consistency in this war. You're in the middle of a war. Are we still marketing in terms of, you know, developing centers of influence, meeting with them, niches, et cetera? How are you holding up?
Yeah, no, we're still business as usual. I mean, and all that. The other things that we've sort of been able to turn on in this is, you know, just using the artificial intelligence, you know, amongst our firm, that we can have things automatically sent out, even like through email. Signed up for a couple campaigns since we talked to you last, so. You know, the auto emails on birthdays, market resources that, you know, we have a newsletter now that's going out monthly. So on the social media side, we do a lot of hand-holding this time of year with our accountants and the clients, right, from getting 1099s and making that personalized to the accountants to help build even more COIs in that space.
Right.
You know, we want it, the ones that we refer to the most, we want to send them something here as we get towards the end of tax season, you know, like, you know, the basket of goodies, you know, so that's coming up. You know, so we're still doing everything that we normally do, you know. We read Tony Galea, who's an internal advisor, big team. You know, he's always just beat into our heads that you just market, and when markets are bad, this is when you get new clients. You may lose some, but this is a good opportunity to get clients. So we're not, you know, we're certainly not afraid of that.
Good. Scheduling your regular meetings, and are they happening? You know, the 5-star meeting, the marketing meeting, etc.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, we're team process-wise with those meetings. We are. We have a marketing meeting today at 1:30, so as soon as that's our scheduled weekly. We're having the Monday meeting at the beginning of the week to go through the game board. We're meeting on Fridays to go through the scoreboard. We have our morning huddle every day. Now, we are making sure our huddle's probably a little longer than you'd like it to be. Because we kind of set the agenda of what's going on in the days, where we're at the open tasks, who's called in, who's been talked to. We're taking a little bit more care with that right now with the market being all over the place. We're all, you know, up and running by 9 a.m. every day after we have those meetings. So feel pretty good about that.
You sound really good. You sound organized. I mean, a lot of people just stop doing their process when, you know, when the markets go to hell. But you guys aren't, and that's really good, because the markets will settle down and everybody will be back to normal, and they will have missed a big opportunity here, and you guys will have held it together. So that's really important.
I think process is the thing you can lean on, right, in the middle of crazy.
Right. And that's what, I mean, that's what, you know, in the, as, you know, in an, fortunately for me and for others that were trained, whether you're an athlete, you have rituals, right? Before you hit a tennis ball, before you serve, you have rituals. Before you take a plane up in the air, you have your checklist. Everybody, you know, that's professional, whether they're going to operate on somebody or they're going to be a financial advisor, needs a checklist, needs a process. And having that process laid out for you on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, will make you better at this. And you'll be more productive, and you will not be thrown off by things going wrong. You'll stick with it. So congratulations on that. I just have a team that I coached before you guys, and it's unbelievable. As soon as things go bad, they completely drop everything and go into chaos.
Yeah.
And I have to kind of pick them up and get them back. Oh, yeah, yeah, we stopped doing our weekly meeting because it was too busy. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's when you need your weekly meeting more than ever.
Yeah. No, I would say, you know, we've always, and maybe that's why this is, we've been okay, you know, good at adapting and adopting a lot of this, is we've always needed that huddle in the morning, that, you know, meeting, and this has just kind of broken those out so that we're not wasting too much time in one big chunk. The one thing that we still are yet to do, so we've kind of been in chaos, is start, we need to get our, like, off-site, like, our annual, semi-annual meetings. You know, we need to get those things planned and on the calendars, you know, so that we don't miss those opportunities regardless of what's happening. Step away from the,
right,
the phones, the practice, the office, and kind of talk big picture stuff. You know,
when
so
you
that,
do
that's
that,
one thing that I think we have to get on.
When you do that, think about doing a conference call with me and just running through kind of a summary of the agenda for it and what you want to accomplish, and then maybe even during the offsite, have me call in for half an hour and just go through, you know, some critical parts of what you're planning on doing. I think that would be a help for you guys, and it would, you know, be of value.
Absolutely, we love that.
Yeah, that would be great, because I mean it's just reminders, like, you know, niche marketing. You know, what's your plan for niche marketing? Have you built the folder for a niche, and do you have a center of influence inside each niche? That's stuff you may not be doing now, and it's such a gold mine, you don't want to ignore it.
Yes,
okay.
I agree.
Okay, so, you know, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Respecting your time, I appreciate the how organized you are. Melissa's out, but you handled everything beautifully. I appreciate it, and look forward to you gaining market share in here, because you're better organized than others. You deserve it.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. We're going to give it a go.
Yeah, go for it. Okay, thanks.
Hey, have a good day.
Thanks, Rob.
See ya.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.